By the way, we are joined now on the line by our good friend, Mark West, who has served as the president of the Chattanooga Tea Party from April 15th, 2009 until last night when he resigned. And so, Mark West, welcome to the Tennessee Star Report.
Hey, Michael, good to talk to you. And Steve, good to hear from you.
And in addition to his many other duties, also raises buffalo in his spare time, which is I think, as impressive as anything you do, Mark.
I am thoroughly enjoying that. It's something I knew nothing about 2 years ago, but we are just really enjoying. In fact, I'm sitting here looking at them right now.
Now, why was your decision made to step aside from the leadership of the Tea Party in Chattanooga?
You know, it's been coming for a long time, and there's been a lot of things that have been changing in my mind, my understanding over the last couple of years, primarily as I spent time just reading a book. And so, you know, one of the greatest honors of my adult life has been serving as the president of the Chattanooga Tea Party. It was an incredible opportunity, incredible learning experience for me, incredible honor, but it's time to move on. Our roles change, life changes, and we gain new understandings from time to time, and it's time to act on those understandings.
Well, Mark, first, let me say, job well done. Job well done. I mean, you did a great job there. You supported limited government. I think there was a piece in the Chattanooga Times Free Press that said, although they didn't always agree with you, that you were a leader of an excellent example of how civics and citizen engagement ought to take place in America. So congratulations on more than 9 years of outstanding effort.
Thank you, Mike. And, you know, I think back to probably 6 years ago or so when you came down and engaged with us when we had Rick Santorum, presidential candidate, and a major force at the time against Romney, come down, and you came down and spoke at one of our events, and that was a great memory that I'll take with me for life.
Yeah, and thank you, by the way, for inviting me. It's always fun to, I mean, you had a big crowd there, and it was always kind of fun. Now, you said, Mark, that you read a book that influenced your decision to step down, and a long, long time, 9.5 years as the head of the Chattanooga Tea Party. What book and what did you take away from that book that prompted your decision?
Well, you know, the book, I'll just go ahead and tell you, it's the Bible. And it's something we've all read, probably a little here, a little there throughout our lives. But a couple years ago, I started following my grandfather's example, who read through the Bible 100 times when he achieved his 75th birthday. He was reading through it 4 times a year. Started following his example, and it, you know, it's amazing when you start reading God's Word how your thoughts are convicted, you know, and you begin to realize some of the things that you're doing or thinking are not necessarily in line with God's thinking and His ways. So it just began to convict me of some of the things I was doing, how I was spending my time, and politically, I mean, just think about this for a minute. If someone has cancer, you don't treat it with a Band-Aid, do you? People would look at you and say you're foolish. I see the problems in America as not being political. I see them as being spiritual. And that's no deep philosophical statement, I don't think. I think anyone, if they stop and think about it, they probably would realize that as well. All of the problems of mankind and humanity are ultimately spiritual. So as we're fighting political battles, or I'm sorry, spiritual battles with political solutions, it's like putting Band-Aid on a cancer. We're never going to solve them. We might have some short-term successes. In the last 9 years, we've had lots of short-term successes, and boy, we high-five, and we're thankful for them. I'm not belittling those successes. They were incredible. They were awesome. People did an incredible job. But at the end of the day, 9 years later, or eight, or a lifetime later, you know, we look back and say, will any of that last into forever? And that's where I've, you know, found myself asking those questions.
Mark, one of the challenges I think we face as we try to restore that faith-based approach in our country that has been so much of a fundamental part of our culture when we were doing better. You know, we've not always done right, but we've always, you know, kind of aspired, I think, as a nation to follow the right path, and a lot of that has been based upon Christian religious faith. I mean, our founders were composed of that belief and tried to put us on a path as a country that would fulfill that. How do we restore that culture of faith in a culture that is spinning so out of control, where despite the mockery of the left and the fake news media, there is an assault on Christians constantly in this country, certainly internationally, but people are persecuted for their faith in this country. And personally, I like the fact that you're talking about spirituality rather than church, because I see church leadership in so many cases not promoting a spiritual rebirth of faith in this country. They're worried about that guy in the third row that's their biggest donor. They're worried about whether the IRS is going to come in if they talk about cultural issues in stark terms. They want to be liked more than they want to lead. How do we restore that when we don't, in many cases, have the right people in the pulpit leading the people in the pews?
Yeah, I think it's a really simple answer. It's not easy, but it's a very simple answer. We're focusing on the wrong thing. We don't solve the nation's problems by solving the nation's problems, if that makes sense. We solve the nation's problems by looking at ourselves, looking in the mirror, seeing what is it that is wrong with me, not my neighbor, not my politician, not the government, not Congress, not Donald Trump. What's wrong with me? And the only way we find out what's wrong with me is by looking in the perfect word that is a mirror to our soul. When we look in, there's a verse that talks about when we look into God's word, it's a mirror and it shows us exactly what's wrong with us. And so when I start looking at me, I see all the crap in my life, pardon me, all the crud in my life. I see what's wrong with Mark West. I see the brokenness of me, and I see what I need to do for myself, so that I can be a better Mark, so that in turn, just coincidentally, I become a better citizen, I become a better neighbor. And as I do that, as 1,000 Tea Party members do that, as 1,000 Democrats do that, as 1,000 Republicans do that, just as 1,000 Americans do that, looking at ourselves, spending time in God's Word, not 5 minutes a day, not 15 minutes a day, how about an hour a day? We spend 3 or 4 hours in front of Fox News. That was me for years. What if we took 1 hour of our time in front of Fox News and spent that focusing on what's wrong with me, not what does Sean Hannity say is wrong with that the Democrat? And so as we begin to focus on ourselves and we become the persons that God wants us to be, all of a sudden our nation begins to turn the corner, because you have thousands and tens of thousands and millions of Americans who are not so concerned about the flaws of their neighbor, but they're working on the flaws of themselves.
It sounds like to me that you want to essentially, and I'll take it in more at the way I look at it, it's a little bit more secular, but not totally, more the restoration of the American character through relearning, reliving Christian values. Would that be a good description?
It is a good description, but those values have to be found not in the pulpit, okay, not in, secular or Christian music stations. Those are all good, okay? They're important. They're part of it. But ultimately, the perfect standard of truth is God's Word. And so my encouragement to every one of your listeners as 2019 rolls around is read through the Bible in 2019. Read through it. See if it doesn't begin to change your thoughts and minds about yourself, about your neighbor, about that politician, about that guy who's across the street who you don't agree with, and all of a sudden the things that seem to be so disagreeable to you about the other person, they won't be as important, because you'll be focused on eternal things that will matter way past your last breath.
One quick last question from me and then one from Steve. Is there a generational problem here in America that needs to be addressed in that regard?
Boy, man, it's amazing. Just this morning I was reading in the Psalms, and there is a perfect verse that just came to mind as I was reading it, Steve, and I wish I could find it real quick. But it talks specifically about the generation. And I wrote that this was my commentary, a mission worthy of an old guy's focus. And this is what it says. Now that I am old and gray, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me. That's generational. That's eternal. And that's a mission worthy of all of us old guys.
Well, and yeah, and it's always good to know when the Bible's speaking specifically to us, Mark, old and gray. I mean, it speaks definitively, doesn't it? And again, that part of that lesson when you're reading, when you're diving into the Bible, it is also reflective of what your children see, what you do, more than what you say. And when they see you doing that, you are teaching at that small community that bleeds into the larger community. Mark West, always great to visit with you, my friend, stay in touch.
Guys.
We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for what you're doing. Bye.
We'll be right back. This is the Tennessee Star Report. More just ahead.